Good morning. Hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving. That you and you were able to get together with family and friends and make some good memories. One thing that happens around the holiday time is you start to think about the people that you have in your life or loved ones that may have gone on before you. And I started to look back in my life and I realized what an influence women have had on my life. I was raised with three older sisters, so I had my mom, my three older sisters. I had a grandmother that came around a lot. I married Dawn, and she's had a big influence on my life. Her mother has had an influence on my life, and I work with a lot of women in my profession. So women have had an influence on my life and have taught me many things. Now, can you guys think of something that a woman taught you? Other maybe your mother, grandmother, a teacher, a coach. Can you guys think of something that a woman has taught you? Compassion, okay. Paxson. Your mother taught you how to argue. So Mike got taught compassion, Paxson how to argue, all right. Anything else that a woman taught you? Dave.
Love and kindness.
Love and kindness, okay. Anything else? Pardon? Patience. Okay. So all good things that that have been given examples. And today we're going to look at some women from the Bible. And I chose five women and four accounts of parts of their lives. And we're going to talk about, and we're going to look at how these women of the Bible can teach us some lessons about our faith. So our first woman is Mary. And Mary, she taught us about having a servant's faith. Now, God chose Mary out of all the women on the earth at that time to be his son's mother. So he wanted Mary to not only bear his son, but also to raise his son, to raise him, to teach him what it was to be a human, to teach him what it was meant to be a Jew. So he put a lot of trust in Mary. So there had to be something special about her for God to have chosen her. And I think this verse in Luke 1 tells us what was special about her. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be done to me as you have said." So Mary basically said to the angel Gabriel that day, "Whatever the Lord needs me to do, I will do it. I am the Lord's servant. Whatever he needs me to do is fine with me." Mary knew that when she said yes to the Lord, things were going to get tough for her. She was going to be an unwed, pregnant woman in Israel, not as accepted as it is in today's society. And it wasn't even her fiancé's baby. So she didn't know how Joseph was going to react, how her family was going to react, how her community was going to react. But all she knew was God asked it, so she said, "I'm going to do it. I don't care what happens to me, I need to serve the Lord." So when we take a look at our relationship with God, how do we see our role in that relationship? God has given us life. He loves us for who we are. He forgives us time and time again. He has proven his love for us by sending his son to earth to die for our sins. He provides for all our needs. So God is definitely doing his part in our relationship with him. What's our part? How do we view our part in that relationship? Are we like Mary and say, "God, whatever you need me to do, I will do it. I don't care about my reputation. I don't care how I'm going to look. I don't care what it's going to take me away from." Boy, wouldn't that be great to be able to say that as a Christian? Whatever you need me to do. And maybe some of you are there. I'm not. But God, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. Hopefully we don't just see God as our grant wisher, or our wish granter, sorry, but wrong way. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, I need this. He's like our genie that we rub a bottle and he gives us our wishes. Hopefully we don't have that view of God. You know, Mary trusted God. Whatever you need done, Lord, I'll do. And hopefully someday, if we're not there, that can be our role in our relationship with God. Whatever you need me to do, Lord, I'm willing to do. Our next woman, she had sort of a different view of God in the way that she came to her faith in God. And we're going to talk about Rahab, and her faith basically came through fear. Her belief in God basically came through fear. She was a prostitute living in Jericho, and she had a big role in helping the Israelites come into the promised land. She is in the lineage of Jesus. If you go to Matthew 1:5, her name is in the lineage of Jesus, and her act of faith saved her family. Now, I'm going to read the first 14 verses out of Joshua 3. Some of them you might not be able to see too well because I tried to put them on cut down on the slides, but if you want to follow, we're in Joshua 3. Hopefully I can read it. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the roads to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites when you were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Rahab took a chance by hiding those spies. She lied to the king of Jericho, which probably could have got her in a whole bunch of trouble. But she took a chance, and she told that lie. She, if you heard her words, she was serving God out of fear. They destroyed the Amorite kings. He parted the sea for you. She was in fear. The people of the land of that time were in fear. And she was serving God out of fear. And because of her service, her and her family were spared. We got to ask ourselves, why do we serve God? What motivates us? Is it love and gratitude? That would be the great answer. and in Deuteronomy, to love the Lord with your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So do we look at what God has done for us and we say, boy, I just want to serve you, Lord. I love you. I want to serve you. You've given me so much. I just want to do whatever you need me to do. Or do we serve him out of fear? For us as Christians, what's the one thing we probably fear most? For me, it's an eternity of hell. Would you agree with that? Probably not a place that we want to end up. So maybe we serve God out of fear to avoid that. Maybe we serve God out of fear because we don't want to let him down. It says in Revelation, fear God and give him glory. So a fear of God is good, and maybe that's what motivates us. The thing is, when we're serving God out of fear, we're doing his commands. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And in John 14, God says, if you love me, keep my commands. So whether we're serving him out of love or out of fear, if we are keeping his commands, we're showing him love. Sort of the scary thing at the end of time is we will all have to give an account for our lives. So God is going to look at us and he's going to say, what have you done with the faith that you profess? In Hebrews it says, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So whether we have served God out of love or fear, we have to answer to him. Now, in my profession, I run into students who love to learn. And they have success because they just love to learn. Did that fit any of your descriptions when you were in school? Some students, they learn or they want good grades out of fear. Fear of what their parents will say to them if they fail. Fear of not getting into the right college or getting that job interview. But whether it's out of a love of learning or a fear of their parents, they find success in school. Then you have the students that just don't care. They have no motivation for grades. They don't care what the teacher is being said or is saying. So their whole time in school is just because the state has made them go there. And they get nothing out of school. Ran into that a few times in my life. But that's how our faith could be, too. Whether we're serving God out of love or out of fear, we're still having success with our faith. If we do nothing with our faith, we're just wasting time. So hopefully, we just serve. Bottom line, just serve God. Our third and fourth women are sisters, or were sisters, Martha and Mary. And their lesson to us is, what is important to you? Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Mary welcomed him into her house. And she also had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So we have these two women preparing for Jesus' visit to their house. When Jesus enters the house, Mary drops everything and goes and sits at Jesus' feet, and just soaks in everything that he's saying. Martha, she says, hey, Jesus, how you doing? Have a seat. I'll be with you in a little while. I'm going to go, and I'm going to take care of the dinner and redd up the house or whatever. After a while, she gets a little bit upset that Mary's not helping her, goes to Jesus, can you please tell her to help me out? And Jesus is like, no. She's made the better choice here. So if you look at this situation, who do you relate to more, Martha or Mary? And it doesn't have to do anything with like cooking a meal or anything like that. Do you relate more to Martha or Mary? Mary in this story makes sure she stayed close to Jesus. She dropped everything and she made sure that listening to Jesus was a priority in her life. Martha, on the other hand, said, Jesus, I'll be with you in a little bit. What person do we more relate to? And I remember talking about this in our Wednesday night Bible study. Neither one of these people were doing anything wrong. Neither one were doing anything wrong. Mary, definitely, she was, you know, listening to Jesus, and Martha was trying to prepare for Jesus. But sometimes we got to be careful in our lives that our priorities don't get mixed up and that all of a sudden even our good acts become more important than our relationship with God. Sometimes people get so caught up, especially when it comes to like us parents and trying to provide such a good life for our kids, that sometimes we get so busy with that and God gets pushed aside. You know where I found the biggest struggle with this? Sports. Especially games on Sundays. Games on Sundays really challenged our, you know, priorities with God. You know, like, what do you do? In the Cavick household, when I was growing up, my mother, talk about a lesson from a lady, it didn't matter what we were doing. We were fitting in church somewhere that weekend. I don't know if that is still can be said in my Cavick household sometimes. But sports, other things that drag us away, they may seem innocent, and in and of themselves are not bad, but when we put them in front of God, we got to find ourselves, we got to get ourselves back to Jesus' feet. When things start getting in the way of our relationship with God, no matter if they are the best thing on earth, if it's taking us away from God, we got to find our way back. So what's important to us? Our last woman is the Samaritan woman. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days. And many more believed because of his own word. So this account, Jesus goes and talks to a Samaritan woman, which did not happen a lot in those days. That a Hebrew man would talk to a Samaritan woman. But if you read the account in John 4, Jesus and her have this great conversation about the well water and how Jesus was the water of everlasting life and she would never have to go thirsty again. Told her all about her sordid past with her men that she had lived with and been married to. That impressed her so much, that conversation, that she had to go into the city and tell as many people as she could. She was excited that God knew her that well. She was excited to go in and tell the people about Jesus. In our Christianity, how excited are we to share Christ with other people? Do we even share Christ with others? Do we talk about Jesus? Do we talk about what our Lord has done for us and what he could do for them? So many times it's said that Christians walk around like we're sullen that we're not excited, that we're always downtrodden, especially when it comes to our faith. God wants us to be excited about our faith. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to be like, this is what God has done for me, and share that with other people. That Samaritan woman couldn't wait to tell people about God. And what she told them brought people to Christ. Are we excited to do the same thing? As we start to wrap up, talked about four lessons today. Which lessons do we live out, and which ones do we need to learn more? Are we willing to serve God and do whatever He asks of us, no matter how it makes us look, no matter how difficult it's going to be? Are we willing to take risk for our faith? Mary took a risk for her faith. She didn't know how she was going to be received. She just knew she had to serve God. Rahab took a risk for her faith by lying to the king of Jericho. And she didn't really know if these Israelites were going to make good on their promise. She trusted them that they wouldn't come and destroy her house. Are we making sure that God is the most important part of our lives? It is so easy to get focused on the things that we see that need done right in front of us. And God is so far away sometimes. And we fill things up with everything, and we say, God, I'll get to you in a little while. God has to be the most important thing. And do we know the lesson of sharing God with others and telling others all that He has done for us? These women and many other women in the Bible have given us great lessons. I chose these four because I'm selfish, and these are the ones that I needed to hear. These women in the Bible taught us many lessons of how our faith can be strengthened and how we should act as a Christian. We have a great group of sisters in this church who are also very strong in their faith. And I thank them for their service and the example that they set in our church. If you watch the women of our church, they know their Bible in and out. Just like Priscilla in today's scripture, being able to instruct. They know their Bible in and out. They are willing to do whatever the church asks them to do. We never lack for volunteers when it comes to like a church function. The women in this church, if you ever watch them before church or during the handshake, they are great supporters of the men here and also of each other. So many counseling little conversations take place in these chairs. And it's really cool to see when the younger women are talking to the older women of the church in here. The women of this church set a great example for all. And I thank you for being the strong Christians that you are. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for the many people in your word that set examples for us of how we should be as Christians. We thank you, Lord, that we have these examples that we can follow, that we can learn from, and that hopefully we can apply in our lives. Please help us, Lord, to be willing to serve you no matter what the cost, to be willing to take risk and to make sure you are always first in our lives. And please help us, Lord, to always be willing to share you with others and share the great things that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, the church offers the invitation. If we can help you in any way, if you have any things that you need the church to pray for, or if you would like to be baptized, please come forward as we sing.